The Terminal Man, Disc 5.
Chapter 2. The freeway was crowded. The freeway was always crowded, even at 1 a.m. on a Friday morning. She stared ahead at the pattern of red taillights, stretching ahead like an angry snake for miles. So many people. Where were they going at this hour? Janet Ross usually took pleasure in the freeways. There had been times when she had driven home from the hospital at night, with the big green signs flashing past overhead, and the intricate web of overpasses and underpasses, and the exhilarating, anonymous speed, and she had felt wonderful, expansive, free. She had been raised in California, and as a child she remembered the first of the freeways. The system had grown up as she had grown, and she did not see it as a menace or an evil. It was part of the landscape. It was fast. It was fun. The automobile was important to Los Angeles, a city more technology-dependent than any in the world. Los Angeles could not survive without the automobile, as it could not survive without water piped in from hundreds of miles away, and as it could not survive without certain building technologies. This was a fact of the city's existence, and had been true since early in the century. But in recent years, Ross had begun to recognize the subtle psychological effects of living your life inside an automobile. Los Angeles had no sidewalk cafes, because no one walked. The sidewalk cafe, where you could stare at passing people, was not stationary, but mobile. It changed with each traffic light, where people stopped, stared briefly at each other, then drove on. But there was something inhuman about living inside a cocoon of tinted glass and stainless steel, air-conditioned, carpeted, stereophonic, tape-decked, power-optioned, isolated. It thwarted some deep human need to congregate, to be together, to see and be seen. Local psychiatrists recognized an indigenous depersonalization syndrome. Los Angeles was a town of recent emigrants, and therefore strangers. Cars kept them strangers, and there were few institutions that served to bring them together. Practically no one went to church, and work groups were not entirely satisfactory. People became lonely. They complained of being cut off, without friends, far from families, at old homes. Often they became suicidal, and a common method of suicide was the automobile. The police referred to it euphemistically as single-unit fatalities. You picked your overpass and hit it at 80 or 90 foot flat to the floor. Sometimes it took hours to cut the body out of the wreckage. Moving at 65 miles an hour, she shifted across five lanes of traffic and pulled off the freeway at sunset, heading up into the Hollywood Hills, through an area known locally as the Swish Alps, because of the many homosexuals who lived there. People with problems seemed drawn to Los Angeles. The city offered freedom. Its price was lack of supports. She came to Laurel Canyon and took the curves fast, tires squealing, headlamps swinging through the darkness. There was little traffic here. She would reach Benson's house in a few minutes. In theory, she and the rest of the NPS staff had a simple problem: get Benson back before